to please say our invocation this evening?
I'd be happy to. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this city. Thank you for this panel that's willing to serve the citizens. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom, give us discernment. Lord, I pray that you would just be here with us as we go about our business tonight. God, I pray that you would look after our families and that you would lift this city up. Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, if you're able, please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now open our public comment time. The City Council invites citizens to address the Council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R87-11. The Council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item not listed on the agenda. When called to speak, please state your name and address, and if speaking on a specific agenda item, state the item before beginning your comments. Is there anyone who would like to address Council at this time? Okay. All right. Seeing none, we will move into our agenda tonight. We are going to start with a presentation, our quarterly presentation from Community Services and Development. Is there anything you want to say?
Awesome. Good evening, Council. All right, so for the quarterly report, going through some residential builds. First off, we have a couple of builds in Lake Forest. And if you have any questions or comments, just stop me whenever. On Badger Ridge, two homes going in. Down in Badger Ranch. Or Westlake, I'm sorry. No, I was right. Badger Ranch, phase two, and now Westlake Edition. And Tanglewood is getting nearly completely built out. Tanglewood phase three just started construction where they're grading and clearing trees.
What do the empty streets represent?
The empty RW Court?
Just an empty street. What is it? Why do we put that up
just
there?
Just a few remaining lots, I guess, to have homes built on them.
Okay.
Then Badger Ranch Phase 2, one of the flag lot off Ransom Canyon. And a couple infill lots, Gladedale's off of Estates, and then Rainbow is on the loop. And two commercial developments, the bank, TFNB Bank, and Waco Ophthalmology, progressing along. And the valve exerciser truck was outfitted, and so our crews just wanted to extend a thank you and gratitude for approving that purchase. And then a project that is 99.9% complete, Brookwood Drainage, and Mitch was able to go out during the heavy rain event last weekend and said that it was working as intended. At least for that amount of rain that we were getting at that time. And the park roads was recently improved with an interlocal agreement with the county. And so they finished that up just last month. And it looks really nice. And Tater Hill tank rehab was nearing completion as well. They have to disinfect the tank, but the picture here shows the final coat of the paint and looks much nicer than it did before. So the rehab is nearing completion. Oops. Okay. I guess it doesn't show the quarterly. I think you have that in your packets, though.
Yes.
And so our inspection numbers over the last quarter, January through March, have just been holding steady compared to other quarters and this same quarter last year. Just a little bit of conversion from finaling out homes and projects that people had finished up in the last year, and now we have an uptick in newer homes starting. Good. So just holding steady as it has been for a while.
Good.
And that's it for me. If you have any...
I got a dumb question. Valve exerciser truck. Was the valves getting fat and, or something? Or what does it do?
It has an arm that goes out and hooks up to the water main valves, and so it has different programs to where exercising it, so it opens and closes them, which you have to do periodically to keep them in working order. And so being able to do that with the machine keeps the wear and tear on our crews down, and it does it in a specific way. You set the torque and you set the number of times, and it helps us with inventory as well, because it counts the number of rotations, and that is correlated to the size of the valve. And so,
and these valves are on the water tanks, I take it, or where are
the water mains, all down the streets and, right. And easements.
So you have to use them on all the different water mains, I take it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And so go around methodically and exercise the valves to keep them in working order. And
so we don't have to replace them as often.
Yeah. Okay. Because if you don't exercise them and you go to shut them off, it could break.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense. I was just trying to figure out what does that do?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does anyone else have any other questions? Okay. Thank you so much, Stephen.
You're welcome.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay. And now for our public safety quarterly presentation.
For the best police chief in Texas. Oh, thanks. We got to give you different titles.
Quite a... A standard. Council, Mayor Pro Tem, City Manager, thank you for the opportunity to speak with y'all and go over our quarterlies and let y'all know what we've been up to. So a few pictures that we like to highlight. On the upper left-hand corner, that is our sergeants graduating from the Texas Sergeant Academy. It is a very, very high-level training for sergeants put on by ILEA, which is a top-tier training organization in Texas. We are sending two more sergeants in May, beginning May 4th. It's about a three-week course. And once they complete that training, we will have had every single sergeant go through this state training. And what it focuses on is servant leadership. It focuses on taking care of our community, as well as taking care of the officers that we lead, understanding that they are, many of them are in formidable years, and it's our responsibility not only grow them as an officer, but grow them as a person. So we focus on their mental health through these courses, and the sergeants have come back and told us great things about this training. Below that, you will see our CRO, Griffin Canister. He is showing some students, I believe, at a local Parents' Day Out, his tools and his fire truck, and just... And they really enjoy that. In the middle there, you remember our Woodway Ice Day week, month, in January, I believe. That's just a picture of Woodway Drive, actually. To the left is the entrance onto the highway. I believe that is right where Santa Fe and Woodway Drive is, right there, going onto the highway. We had to close that down for a period of time because of the hill was dangerous. Under that is a couple of our officers. I had, we review body cameras, obviously, and dash cameras all the time just to watch what's going on, to stay in the know. And when I was watching, I noticed a couple of our officers. This is a body camera of another officer. They noticed a vehicle was broken down, and so they have their They called up to the PD to somebody to get the handheld battery jumper and went up there and jumped the car and got them on their way. So instead of them having to pay, you know, for somebody to tow their car or having to do all that, we were able to jump their cars. Nobody asked them to do that, just a cool thing I just wanted to highlight. To the right was a fire that we fought due to a heat lamp and a doggy bed during the cold January month, and our officers responded. I think the response time was a minute and 30 seconds, and we're able to put that fire out before it spread into the trees that you can see in that picture. Bottom right is the other sergeant who graduated from the Texas Sergeant Academy. You have Sergeant Isbell and Sergeant Potts, both completed that. The upper right is a footprint. I'm sure many of y'all have seen this story. It was also featured on a few news outlets. We had three burglaries in this last quarter, two of a habitation and one of a local business. All three of them have been solved, and two of them were solved because of that footprint. We got called to a home in the area that was vacant and for sale because a neighbor saw somebody enter it. When we arrived, the individual was gone. We didn't know where he went. He was gone really quickly, so we assumed that he lived in the area because there was no vehicle. And this was, as you can see by the ice, it was not very drivable conditions. We noticed a specific imprint on the front. If you see the front, towards the bottom, there's a specific divot right there. The individual had a specific way of walking. We noticed with that footprint leading into the house and then leading out, running out when the neighbor saw him. So we followed that divot to a house in the area, and we solved it. Just the old-fashioned policing, I guess you can call it. Can't beat it, but it worked. Knocked on the door, and they were less than welcoming of us, so that was another clue, and we started an investigation. And later on that night, so we sent out an email about this event that occurred. Later on that night, an officer saw a vehicle unrelated, I believe with a brake light out, pulled him over, and the individual in the passenger seat was wearing the exact same clothes that the individual on the Ring camera got caught with this footprints. It was even wearing the same shoes. We asked him to lift up his foot, and lo and behold, it was the same footprint that we have on there. So, and he gave us a fake name, so that was also a clue. So all that put together, he was eventually charged with burglary of a habitation. So last quarter, last year, this quarter compared to this year of this quarter, 3,856 calls compared to 3,924 calls. We were pretty busy this quarter. Reports taken 190 to 188, zero online solicitation, two burglaries last time and three this time, and we covered those. 21, zero sex crimes this time, one sex crimes last year, 30 thefts and 21 thefts last time. We've averaged between 20 and 30. That's perfectly normal, ebb and flow. We had a few of those, as you can see on the bottom of the screen, it says theft from vehicle was nine of them. Whenever there is a rash of these, they are separated. So if somebody goes to a local business when they're closed and gets into a vehicle and then closes it and goes to another and gets into a vehicle and closes it, those are two separate statistics because there's two different victims. We had that kind of incident at a local mechanic store. And the individual used to work there. We ended up being able to locate him, return all the tools to that mechanic store, and solve those crimes. So 33 accidents compared to 49 this time around. We didn't see a huge increase during ice days, which was wonderful. I mean, people really drove well. People stayed at home, which was the biggest part. But then the deluge of everyone returning to normal life afterwards and everybody converging on HEB grocery stores at the same time and having those situations occur, we notice an increase in the accidents on those corresponding weeks. Fire EMS calls, we notice a higher number of EMS calls this quarter, and it kind of goes with the cold, unfortunately. The colder it is, the harder it is to stay warm, and situations occur like that. Falls, we had more calls on falls as well, and also fire calls due to the heat lamps, and a lot of it has to do with trying to warm animals up. We had a chicken coop fire, we had a a couple of dog fires with heat lamps related to heat lamps. Luckily, no animals perish or anything like that, but it is something that when it gets cold that we see an increase of. And we even posted it on our Facebook. I don't know if anybody saw that about chicken coops and the dangers with those. VCO calls for service went from 226 to 279. Traffic stops from 1066 to 1084. Citations from 365 to 419. Weapons violations from 4 to 1. Assaults from 9 to 12. And arrests from 94 to 80. And you see the top three, larceny, like theft by check and things like that. A simple assault is the lowest form of assault. So if people are pushing each other, things like that, and getting physical, but not to the point where weapons are involved, those are usually citations and separate the parties. So training hours, this is just in the last quarter, over 3,300 hours, physical hours of training just in 3 months for our officers. We focus a lot on wildland fires with summer coming up and the heat coming. It's important to refresh our officers in those dangers of wildland firefighting and what we can do to knock them down early. The Fire Academy, we have Police Academy. We also have other, which is 560 hours. That includes the Texas Sergeant Academy. That also includes fire inspector training. SFST is Standard Field Sobriety Training or TESS, which is the DWI, the things you see on the side of the road. That's what field sobriety testing is. So refreshing our officers, again, as summertime comes and as spring break came and all those kinds of times, we start needing to be more up to date on our skills when it comes to those. Hostage and crisis negotiator, we have a thriving negotiator team of five officers, majority of them Woodway officers. We also have Hewitt officers who are part of our negotiations team as well for those, what we call high risk, low frequency calls, right? Those are the ones that we can make the most mistakes on, the ones that don't happen a lot but have the most to lose. So they train heavily on those high risk and low frequency calls. We can handle the high risk, high frequency because we deal with them and we train on them and they become second nature. But the high risk, low frequency calls are the ones that keep us up at night, the ones that we train for and really try to focus our like wildland firefighting and things like that. Command staff leadership, our captain right now actually is in a LEMITS Leadership Command College, which takes 3 to 3.5 years to get into. He put his application in over 2 years ago. He started just this last 2 weeks ago. It's the FBI National Academy version for Texas. It changed my whole aspect of leadership when I had the honor of attending it. It's at Texas A&M's Mays Business School. It's also at, it's a 9-week course, 3 weeks at a time. So you go for 3 weeks for phase one. You have to write a peer-reviewed article that gets published as well, a white paper by the end of it, and you have to defend it as well about a topic in criminal justice that is interesting to you. So it's really a time of growth for the leadership, and it's also completely free and covered by a grant by the state. So we're not paying anything for the hotel. We're not paying anything for anything. It's a great opportunity for our officers. Hence why it takes so long to get into. But that's kind of just want to show you all the training that, you know, the duck on the surface of the water looks calm and collected, but under it's pedaling like crazy, keeping us ready for those low frequency, high risk calls. I'm not going to answer any questions y'all may have.
I did have a question, just kind of follow up from the last time we did the quarterly report, and I put Officer Canaster kind of on the defensive on it, but when you have the citations listed, those are not related necessarily to traffic stops, right? They can be citations for public drunkenness, I guess.
Absolutely anything. The assaults I showed, all those nine simple assaults were citations. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, anything and everything that can be public intoxication can be a Class C. So, yeah, we write a just plethora, you name it. It's written as a Class C, yes.
Okay.
Sir.
All right, great. Thanks.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you so much for your continued holistic approach to leadership and training. It shows in the way that your officers interact with our residents, and we just thank you. So
I'm always amazed at the amount of schooling that continues and that you keep on it. My background's in training, so I see that. I like, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
And it makes a difference.
Oh, thank
makes
you.
A huge difference.
Thank you. Yeah, the public safety model has a lot of continuing education associated with it, but we're so blessed to be able to do it, and we honestly thank you for the opportunity and the budget, the training to keep up these certifications. Yeah.
Cool. Important. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, moving on to public hearings. So item 6A, we will have a public hearing on request from Jacob Rippey for a new special use permit for a home occupation, baseball, softball training and lessons at 300 Glenview Circle, Woodway, Texas. Okay, I will open the public hearing at 5:50. Is there anyone who would like to speak for this?
I'm Jacob Rippey. So basically, we have a batting cage in our backyard that we have installed, and I have a lot of. I'm very involved in Midway Little League. I played baseball at Baylor for 4 years, and I have had a lot of people that have just been interested in helping their kids. It's a lot of people that are. Honestly, it's a lot of people that are asking their entry level that don't have a lot of. Their parents might not know how to help them. They're needing assistance. And so I was saying that if I have the opportunity, I'd like to be able to help these kids. And so it's a lot of, like I said, the ones that have shown interest have been like T-ball, coach pitch, like starting to get it so I can help them out a lot with T-work and just getting the fundamentals down of learning how to play the game. I've played baseball my whole life. My dad's a high school baseball coach. And it's just something that's been a passion of mine to just try to help the kids. And so it's something I saw an opportunity to help kids that don't have the knowledge or the parents might not have the knowledge. And just in our area, it's something I've seen that's really, you know, baseball's big in the Woodway, Midway area, as y'all know from the baseball team. So if I can help out and help those kids that might need help, that's just something I wanted to take the opportunity to do.
Question for clarification.
Yes.
Well, hold on. We'll do that during discussion.
Okay.
That's okay.
You're right.
Yeah. You can have a seat. Thank
right,
you
sorry.
So
Thank
much.
You.
Yes. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak for? Is there anyone who would like to speak against this permit? Okay. Wonderful. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing at 5:52. Okay, now for our discussion and consideration of this request, may I have a motion to
I'll
discuss?
Make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
All right, wonderful. Okay, now you may ask your question. Jacob, if you want to come back up here for us, thank you so much.
And it's just for clarification. This is, you're not planning on having like 20 kids that you're teaching and training at the same time.
No, ma'am,
right?
It's one at a time.
One, yes, possibly two.
Possibly two. I've had brother.
So it's
brother
not a traffic issue. It's not.
No, ma'am, it's one vehicle at a time. The only time I've had multiple is when it's brother and sisters or brother and brother that have been interested and they've come as a.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for doing that.
Yes, ma'am.
I know there's kids that benefit from it.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're mostly getting kids at the very beginning level, not like travel team kids that are.
No, so I coach a travel team, but they've already getting the training at their travel. It's been like the interest I've had is Little League kids that need they're not getting the instruction from, because Little League, like, it's a lot of parents that are doing it and they're volunteering and helping.
Right.
And so they're not getting the individual one-on-one, and they want their kids to be successful, so they need the basic. How do you stand? How do you swing? How do you do all the things correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's mostly Little League kids have been where the interest is.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for going through this process. People could, you know, just skip this,
yes,
so it's nice that you're doing it. And
absolutely.
None of the neighbors are
yes,
complaining
sir.
About it, so I don't see any issues with it.
Thank you.
Is this open to non-residents as well as residents?
Yes, both, yes ma'am. It's open to anybody who wants to come from the area. Majority of it is Woodway kids and Midway kids. I've had, I think, one Lorena that's been interested, but it's mostly Midway and Woodway kids. I'm out at the Little League fields all the time, and so I talk to people out there that are interested, and that's what got me that wanting to help is people always ask, and it's like, you have to, if you're going to the Little League fields, you're fighting games and practices and for cage stuff, and so I was like, if I can have an opportunity to do it where we can schedule it on our own and do that kind of thing, it would be more convenient for them.
What's the age range?
I've had the youngest, I think, is 6. Like I said, that's a lot of basics, T-work, stance. But then I've had, I think the oldest I've had is 12, maybe, something like that.
How long are your sessions?
30 minutes to an hour is the most, because an hour of hitting, especially for a beginner, is a lot. And so it's majority of them are 30 minutes.
Are you expecting multiple sessions? I'm sure you would, a day.
Yes, it just depends on time. So it's usually, you can, if you're doing it during the afternoon, like three hours of depending on hour or 30-minute session. Because I'm also working around, I coach Little League, and I coach my son in the select team. My daughter does softball, so it's not every day either, because it's, I have to work around those kind of activities and schedules.
When's your prime time?
It's usually 3:30 till about 7 is about when it's...
Monday through Friday.
Yes.
Weekends, I guess.
Because weekends I'm usually traveling either with my daughter or my son to watch or coach those. So it's mostly during the week, just till about 7:30 or so, something like that.
Most of your clients come just through word of mouth?
We have a lot of them are word of mouth, but we've put a Facebook post about it to gain some interest, and that's where a lot of it came from as well.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't think that this would create a traffic issue.
No.
Parking for that little amount shouldn't be.
And we have a circle driveway in front of our house.
So they can park on.
Yes,
that.
They can.
So you wouldn't be off street as much.
Correct. Most of them do park on the circle driveway because we park in the garage and in our driveway. And so we also have a circle drive in front that they pull into. Yes, sir.
Do you vary your price depending on?
No. It's,
age?
No, it's set now, set rate.
What's your set rate, if you don't mind me asking?
It's $35 for a half hour, and then I get $60 for an hour.
Very low.
Yeah, well, so that was part of my thinking, too, is like some people, I have friends that do this, too, or guys I know, and I wanted to make it cheaper because it's a convenience factor for me. It's not hard for me to go to my backyard, and so if I can lower the price to help people out, I wanted to do that. I don't want to undercut people, but I was like, I don't have to drive anywhere. I don't have to take equipment. And so if I can make it affordable.
Or rent space.
Correct. Well, and so I wanted to do that.
Our crew is very interested in your lessons. So yeah. We will try to pass some people your way, it sounds like. Thank you so much. And it sounds like PNZ has already passed and recommended this for us to pass. So unless anyone has any other questions, I will be happy to entertain a motion to accept or deny this request, special use permit.
I make a motion that we accept it.
Okay. I'll second.
Wonderful. All right. All of those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, nay? Okay. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you so
much. Appreciate
you
doing it.
Okay, moving on to our items for individual discussion. Items number 7, discussion and consider action on renewing the agreement with Hicks Ray Associates to provide professional services by assisting the City of Woodway in acquiring federal grants for public works projects in an amount not to exceed $49,500 and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. May I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
All right, thank you. Mr. Manager, do you have anything for us before we...
No, Mayor Pro Tem, thank you. There's some decent amount of background information here, but I trust everyone's had time to look it over. And Mr. Ray's usually pretty good at telling us all the things that he's done for us. So I'll let him have the floor.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Council. I appreciate the opportunity. Fred and I have enjoyed working for the City of Woodway, working with Mitch and Steve, and certainly with Adam. It's good support. You don't do this as consultants and be successful without the backing of the client, so to speak, without the city being there, providing the information that's needed so that decisions can be made, that kind of thing. I had some slides, Steve. Did those make it?
They did.
Yeah.
What did I do? Oh. There we go. Okay. These are the three items I wanted to move through fairly quickly, but I think it would give you a good background on where we are now and where we've been, where we're going, what's been achieved to date. Going back to fiscal year 2024, we made two requests, one for a waterline project, the Highway 84 waterline project, and one for the Old McGregor Ritchie Road project. The EPA project was a water project. It was a EPA STAG, is what they call it, State and Tribal Assistance Grant. The other was an EDI, Economic Development Initiative project. The 24 STAG project, the waterline, 84 waterline, was funded not at our requested amount of $3 million, but at a substantial $1 million. So that was a good thing, a success. In 24 also, we made a request for the combined street project that goes through a different appropriation subcommittee, and that was not funded in FY24. Then we moved to 26, and the reason we skipped 25 is that there was a continuing resolution, you may recall, that just held everything at FY24 levels for a year. Now, we did put in requests for Woodway for FY25 funding. It was simply no requests were appropriated during that fiscal year. However, they did look at them in FY26, and that included a different waterline project called the Bosque Project. Steve can maybe explain where these are a little better than I can. I might have a graph of it in just a second, or a picture anyway. We requested again $3 million for that waterline project, and were funded, got a little haircut at $750,000. So, but exciting, I thought, in FY26 was that we did get funding out of the transportation and HUD, it's called THUD, Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development. We got $1 million in this, an EDI grant, and that's currently something we're working on to bring that bring those funds into the city. I wanted to talk a minute about what it takes after you've received an appropriation. This is the kind of thing that we did. These are EPA STAG projects, okay, the water projects that I just talked about. Those require you that you submit to the EPA grant coordinator a work plan, and that takes coordination with Mitch and Steve and putting that together. There are forms you have to fill out. There's a thing called an interagency coordination, and I'll show another graphic on that just to show you how extensive that thing is. It's not a lot of work. It's just the mechanics of getting it out and then the mechanics of getting a response from these agencies. Sometimes they, you're not going to believe it, but sometimes these federal agencies don't respond very promptly. So you have to send out a reminder and, you know, ask. In some cases, you have to go back to your member and ask them for help. We did not have to do that. Also, very important is the environmental side, the NEPA compliance, and there's a thing called a categorical exclusion, which is a way of satisfying NEPA. And there's a little graphic there of what that looks of the form that's filled in. That's just the header. There's about 10 pages that go with that. Okay, I said the interagency coordination. This shows the different agencies that we coordinated with, or where you're required to coordinate with. Hinges goes through the Heart of Texas COG. We have to work with McLennan County, the Fort Worth District Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife, which can be a little tricky at times, and then the Texas Historical Commission. The the graphic in the middle that has the ABCs, that is a index for a 40-page report I sent in to our EPA grant coordinator to show him that Woodway has provided all the details that he would need to move forward with the grant. We were successful. On the right is the form that you get when a CEDEX, a categorical exclusion, is approved. And that's the Woodway's approval for the Highway 84 project. So everything's in motion to use those funds to do that project. Steve, did you have anything that you wanted to throw in there since you worked on a lot of this?
Just that I submitted this project a few weeks ago, and so it's making its way up to where we can get that $1 million in hand.
You may mention 84 project. What is that?
Let's see. Oh, I don't have it on here. The Highway 84 project is along Highway 84, coming from
McGregor Road.
Oh, yeah.
And 84. So our 84 tank, it'll connect our Waco connection to our 84 tank, so we can have redundancy and plan for the future. Should our wells ever have any issues, we can get water from Waco in higher volume and just better redundancy, I guess, overall.
Moving forward, we did make requests this year for FY27 funding. Those went in. Actually, they went in the end of last month. And there, we made three requests. These are the two that were priorities. One is a EPA STAG clean water. That means it's not drinking water, it is clean water, it's wastewater. It's kind of an oxymoron, but that's what that is. And the other one is, again, another economic development initiative, another funding increment for Old McGregor Road. Important thing to note here is that Congressman Sessions knows Woodway, they know they do good projects, and his staff submitted both of these requests to the appropriate appropriation subcommittee for funding. So that's in process. It takes a while, of course. We should hear something about the approval and funding of those projects towards the end of the year. Okay? And I guess the last thing I had, Adam, unless you have something you want to interject, the agreement, it's pretty much like last year, except I did add a provision in here for the effort that goes into actually applying for and qualifying for the funding itself to take it down. And that provision provides up to $7,500 for per grant, no, $7,500 per year, sorry, $2,500 per million dollars of grant funding, up to $7,500, okay? But that is to pay for the effort of doing that 40-page report. And every one of these has that same type of requirement. You have to do NEPA, you have to do intergovernment. So that's what we're requesting. I would tell you I'm very excited that Woodway has had the kind of success that it's had. And I think that Congressman Sessions is very pleased. So he's standing behind Woodway. Not making a political speech for the guy, but he has helped us out. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Well, I just want to say thank you for helping us navigate these systems in a way to where it has very much benefited our community.
So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Will $1 million complete the project?
$1 million will get close, get it started. It depends on the project. Ritchie Road is probably a $3 to $4 million fix, is what Mitch was saying, I believe, in that ballpark.
That was the last estimate, but that estimate's old.
The other, we requested $3 million. That's more what the project costs, and we got $1 million. So that's a good question, but we can go back and add another increment of funding if that's what the city decides to do and needs to do.
If we take the $1 million, start the project, get it $1 million in.
Third of the way done.
We're a third, well.
Yeah, well, 3 million.
Third of the way there, that's right. So we're still locked into an additional $2 million from somebody or us.
To finish the project, you would be.
We have $1 million more than we started with.
Right.
But do we have a special, do we have funding for that? Yeah, I thought that we did.
Not to leave Mr. Ray out in the wind. So as we're getting this money, there's water, sewer, road replacement. There's different ways, different mechanisms we can choose to use one source of funding for several projects. And as before you came on the council, sir, but I believe in Mr. Ray's original, maybe not his original speech, but original to me in my time here, was that these can be stacked. So we may get 750 1 year, we may get $1 million the next year. Kind of like the old McGregor Road project, we've been pulling various sources of funding and we're just waiting for a few other things to fall into place before we tackle that. I'm throwing a number out, $18 million project, and we don't have nearly that now, sure. But it's all about building and scaling.
That clears it up for me, thanks.
And one other thing, I appreciate people being here because I don't like it to come across as I'm trying to sell their business for them, but I can say in the time that I've been here, we have worked really great together. We have seen measurable results, and there's a ChatGPT way to do it, and then there's a way it actually gets done, and that's what we're paying for. There's a way to do it on paper, and then there's a way to accomplish it, and that's where they've been, I'd say, very successful. Well, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Will AI play into this at any point?
I was just joking about that.
No, we have not used AI on any of this. Tried to use our brains, and it mostly used Fred's. Fred is my partner, Fred Hicks-Ray. He has a PhD in government, essentially, history. But he's been a lobbyist, federal lobbyist for how long, Fred? Probably 50 years, almost. Nah, 45 years. So he knows what he's doing. And I've been working with Fred since 2000. So we know what we're doing. We're local. We allow the client, the cities, to speak for themselves, to speak for their projects. And we reflect that in the applications that we make for funding. So.
And I'm sure Pete could use some help come November. That helps us. He's been a very good, strong supporter for Woodway and, you know, every 2 years.
I agree. And, I'd be happy to work with Adam and the staff on a recognition of what Congressman Sessions has done. He would appreciate that.
I will be working with him again.
Good.
In November.
Very good.
And before.
Thank you so much. Does anyone have any other questions?
Thanks for your patience with me getting
out. Oh, no.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Well, if there's no further discussion, I will entertain a motion regarding renewing the agreement with Hicks-Ray Associates.
I make a motion that we renew the agreement with Hicks.
Okay.
And Associates.
All right. Okay, let's have a vote, shall we? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Okay, that brings us to our consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial routine and budgeted items which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with one single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove an item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Is there anyone who would like to have any item pulled? Okay. Hearing none, then I will entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
I move.
Okay. I'll second that.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Okay. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. We are going to enter an executive session. Notice is hereby given that a closed meeting will be held pursuant to Section 551.071 of the Texas Government Code to consult with the city attorney regarding a matter in which the duty of the attorney under the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct of the State Bar of Texas clearly conflicts with the open meetings provisions of the Open Meetings Act. So I hereby close this recess. This session at 6:16. We will resume our open session at 6:34 p.m. Okay, now we have discussion and consider action to approve a contract amendment with STV Inc. successor in, hold on, I added a in interest by acquisition of CPNY Inc. for an additional construction administration and resident project representative services for the Fairway Gravity Sewer Replacement Phase 3 in an amount not to exceed $78,700 and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second. Okay.
All right. Here we go, Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. As with the last gentleman, since he is present, I will defer the floor to him, but I can add some background information afterwards if there's any gaps that need to get bridged.
Welcome, right. Mr. Wetzel.
All right. Good evening. Thank you, Council. Scott Wetzel, STV, 200 West Highway 6, Waco. The proposal that you have in front of you is for additional services on the ongoing project for the Fairway Sewer. Since the last time I was here, the contractor has made considerable advancement in the project. They have about 800 linear feet of pipeline left to install and then their finish up work. The proposal that you're looking at here is based on their present schedule, and which is they're supposed to be finished in June. They put that schedule together about a month and a half ago. We requested an update, but we haven't received it. Right now, if I had to estimate, I would say that based on the recent rains and just them trying to get their traffic control on Highway 84 and working with TxDOT, that they're probably going to be past that date. I would estimate maybe a month or two to get to substantial completion. And substantial completion means that the sewer line has been installed, all the connections are made, it's fully functional, but then final completion involves them finishing up all the other work like the grading and finish out on the project. But that doesn't prohibit the project from functioning. So the services you have in here are based on that schedule. It's proposing to get through the end of June. We have been, as of late, because there hasn't been as much activity out there, we haven't been spending as much. We only charge for, you know, when we're out there, because they've had a lot of other setup costs and trying to get their bypass pumping moved and that type of thing. So I anticipate that the funds that I'm requesting here would extend past the end of June. So that's the background, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Wonderful, thank you.
How many feet a week are they averaging now?
I know it depends on the weather.
Yeah, so there's weeks when they're not getting any, like right now, because mm-hmm. they're moving stuff. But as of late, they have had some times where they were hitting 60 to 80 feet a week.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so when things are going well and they've got everything set up, their trench boxes are in place and they can move along, they have been able to make good progress. They changed superintendents about, I don't want to say quite a year ago, but the new superintendent has made a lot more progress than the previous superintendent. So, and the portion they're in now is between Jim Ark and Highway 84. Yeah, it's a little more rocky, but it's also shallower, smaller diameter pipe, and it's more wide open. The banks aren't steep and close to the construction equipment. So they should be able, once they get started, they should be able to make pretty good progress.
Are they there every day?
They are, or at least most. There have been some days when there's weather events and that type of thing where they have a reduced crew or no crew. But other than that, they are there every day.
Since we haven't had any weather lately, except for...
Yeah, so very recent, yeah. Mm-hmm. So. But that also coincided with the period of time where they were moving their bypassing and getting their traffic control set up and that type of thing. So unfortunately, when the weather was really dry here as of late in the last few weeks, they were doing those other things. But they should be pretty close once the weather starts cooperating to gear back up and start installing pipe.
How many men's on their crew?
It's varied from roughly 9 to 12. I mean, they have pretty big crews out there.
Yeah.
That doesn't always mean it's been as productive as what you would think, but yeah, it's not because they've had too small a crews or anything.
So they haven't really been understaffed that's been a reason for the delay, or
no.
They're just...
If I had to give you my opinion on why they have been so slow...
We'd love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it really pertains to, a lot of it had to do with the previous superintendent not really organizing his crews to be productive.
Okay.
So
for the last year, they've made
more, yeah.
More hay.
Yeah.
Can I ask how you feel, if you could speak to the quality of the work that you're seeing?
There's no problem with the quality. It's just been slow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any other questions or any other discussion?
So you were saying you thought 1 to 2 months to substantial completion, but then there's still some wrap-up stuff. Are you still, or is STV still going to be watching through that entire process or just to the substantial completion?
No, through the entire process is our intention to be able to get to final completion.
Okay.
Because once substantial completion is reached, whether it's June or August, we're not real sure, and then they start doing final completion, that work still needs to be looked at, and there's quite a bit of paperwork that has to go through in closing out a project.
So we're saying end of the year, maybe, till final?
I would hope it's before the end of the year. I mean, I hate to make predictions about this contractor because it's very difficult,
sure.
But that would be what I would anticipate would be the end of the year.
Okay.
The difference is once final completion work, usually the number of hours involved on our part decreases from what it is to get to substantial completion, because you're not looking at pipeline going in the ground, you're looking at surface restoration, that type of thing, and it's easier to see that than making sure you're there when things have to get installed and backfilled and density tested and all that kind of.
Will we be able to see, will we be able to use the sewer project before substantial completion?
Will we be able to what?
Will we be able to use the pipeline?
The majority of everything up into Jim Mark, well, not quite there, but it's being put online as it goes.
As it goes.
Yeah, so you're using most of it now. It's just the portion that hasn't been installed or hasn't been tested. That right.
So as soon as we get the pipe in the ground, cover it up some, we can use it, and then substantial completion where they're doing all the...
Yeah, so we just don't
grading work and all that.
No, that's final completion. Substantial completion is when the last bit of pipe and manholes go into the ground. It's been tested, accepted, and the city has accepted the project.
then that's when substantial completion will start.
And that's where we start using it?
Yeah.
In its entirety?
In its entirety, correct.
I remember we did a smoke test on the line before, and the, you know, smoke was coming up everywhere. Mm-hmm. I guess after it's complete, is there one more smoke test, or is it necessary?
We're testing it as we go. So once, so initially they do an air pressure test just mm-hmm. to make sure it's not leaking. And then after it's been installed for 30 days, we run a mandrel through it, which has a 5% allowance for deflection. And the mandrel has to go through there without any obstruction. And sometimes you can get obstruction because the pipe might get squashed or damaged or a joint. And so that test to make sure that it's not, it's bedded correctly and it's not having problems. So all of the, and then the manholes get vacuum tests. So all of the testing occurs as we go.
So, yeah. It's not a one-time thing.
No, it's that way we know everything as we're going along has been accepted, been tested and accepted. Yeah.
Well, we thank you for being on the ground and
thank
ensuring
you. Appreciate
quality
it.
And all of that. So okay. Does anyone have any other questions for Mr. Wetzel?
No.
Here. Okay, well, you can have a seat. Thanks okay. so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So our staff recommends to approve a contract amendment with STV for additional construction administration and resident project representative services for the Fairway Gravity Sewer Replacement Phase 3, an amount not to exceed $78,700, and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Wonderful. Okay, I will have a vote. Do anyone? My brain stopped working.
End of the day.
At that moment.
It's nice.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thanks. Okay. Any opposed? All right. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for bearing with me through that moment. Okay, that brings us to our city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and Council. In preparation for these council items tonight, that has consumed most of my headspace outside of all the other things that have been put on the now my mind's
yeah, sorry, it's contagious.
Can't find the word. The thing we send out to everybody. Newsletter. Good grief.
Or the update, the monthly or yes. the weekly update.
Yes.
Well, welcome to my world.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, we get a weekly update on what the staff has done.
Right.
Yes.
Well, between those two things, I do not have anything further tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, any city council reports, briefings, or updates?
DNZ has a meeting tomorrow night.
Okay. Anyone interested?
We did have a meeting
for Parks.
Last week for Parks and Rec, and I'll have some more substantial things at the next meeting.
Okay, wonderful. Anything from you, Commissioner?
Yeah, with the Youth Commission, we'll be... at the process right now, trying to get a number of kids together. We've got a Google Doc out to see who can make it for the 25th for working with cleanup day. I think we're gonna start at Whitehall and kind of go where they can based on the time that's allowed. So that'll be on the 25th.
Okay.
So that is one thing the Parks and Rec did talk about is partnering with the Youth Commission. On a project or two to see if they can get them involved and
okay.
get with you. And,
okay, yeah, and, definitely.
So okay. that's one of the things we have. We have several more.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, if there is no other new business, then I will consider action on adjournment.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed?
See you later.
Okay, motion carries unanimously, and then I close the meeting at 6:47 p.m.